afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
Gary Lucy, what's up?
Producer.
Hello.
Matt Belknap.
How's it going?
We were just, and before I bring the guest in, I just have to say, this guest was just rocking out in the kitchen of the building that we're recording in right now, and I got to bring her in right now. She's been doing this since she was a teenager, and she's still doing it, and you've seen her on MTV in the heyday. She's got a brand new album out. It's 2013, and we are sitting across from Lita Ford, everybody.
Thank you.
Welcome to Rock Solid.
Thanks, guys.
My teenage self wouldn't believe it. My 20s, 30s year old self wouldn't believe it. Oh, that's Lita Ford playing in the kitchen. Don't worry about it.
Our intern, Kyrie, texted me. He's like, Lita Ford's in the kitchen, and they're tuning up. I was like, yes.
Awesome.
Thumbs up. Awesome. How are you doing today, Lita?
I'm great. I'm doing great.
You brought a guy with you who's going to play
Mitch
a little
Perry.
Bit?
This Mitch Perry. This is guitar player Mitch Perry.
Nice
Welcome
to see you.
And
guys, if think what does a rock and roll guitar player look like, and that's what Mitch Perry looks like behind me. He's got the hair. You got the glasses on still, Mitch? There he's got the sleeve.
He looks like one of the playable characters in Guitar Hero.
Yeah, exactly. So
we're getting all revved up to go to Australia tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for making time to be in Sherman Oaks today.
Yeah. Oh, it's my pleasure.
I assume that Australia will be a letdown after Sherman Oaks.
I hope not. Because it's a 16-hour flight, so I hope not.
Yeah, are you doing solo shows there? Are you with other bands? Is it a festival? What's going on?
They're solo shows.
They're solo shows? Excellent.
A couple shows.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you're working up some new material that we heard earlier and we're going to hear in a little bit later?
Yeah, we're going to play you a couple songs.
Okay. Nice. He just burped. Great.
Well, it's okay. So long as it comes out that end.
That's right.
The other end,
absolutely.
We're okay.
So the first thing I found out about Lita Ford that I didn't know is you were born in London.
Yes.
How did that happen?
You really need to know how that happened. The standard way.
Sometimes when a mom and dad love each other very much.
What if that's how my line of questioning was the whole time? Like, I'm the worst interviewer ever. So let me know about that. Right. No, was your dad in the armed services, or did you live in London?
My father was in World War II, and he was wounded in Anzio Beach. Mm-hmm. You know that famous Anzio Beach attack in World War II? And he was hit with a stick grenade. And they put him in the hospital in Italy, and he fell in love with my mother, who my mother was one of the nurses that worked for the wounded soldiers, and she actually volunteered. And my father was one of the guys that she took care of, and he fell in love with her voice.
Really?
Because she has this very thick, deep Italian accent. And he fell in love with the Italian accent and the Italian language and its culture. So they, after the war, they got married and they moved back to London, which is where my father is from. And there was me. gave birth.
It's so funny because I would never in a million years think that your father was from London and your mother was from Italy, because you seem like such a California person to me, like just
California
American.
State. Yeah, I grew up in the USA. Mm-hmm. We came into Boston, and then we lived in Texas. And when I was in second grade, we made our way to California, and I never left.
And that was a good thing for you.
Yeah.
And so now we jump years and years and years and years and years to The Runaways.
Yep.
How old were you when The Runaways started?
16.
16. What do your parents think about 16-year-old Lita Ford being in a rock and roll band?
They loved it. My parents were unbelievable. They never asked questions. They always were so supportive. They never said, why are you coming home at 4 o'clock in the morning? And why do you reek of alcohol and cigarettes? I never asked, you know, my mom, why don't you ever ask me? You know, she was always so supportive. As a matter of fact, I was telling some of the guys in my band yesterday, or the day before yesterday, we were in rehearsal, and I was telling them that they gave me the credits I needed to graduate high school because I never went to school. I always ditched school so I could jam. I didn't want to do school. I just wanted to play guitar. Right. So the teachers gave me the credits I needed to graduate because they would see me in the magazines, you know, Rod Stewart or somebody famous.
Yeah.
And they knew that I was doing something with my life. As a matter of fact, when the diplomas were handed out for graduation day, I was on tour with the Ramones.
Wow.
And my father went and picked up my diploma.
Wow. Are you an only child? Were you an only child?
Yeah.
Wow, they really gave you a lot of freedom. That's pretty great. I don't know if I could do that as I'm a parent. I don't know that I could do that.
How old are your kids?
They're too young to be doing what you were doing. No, they're two girls, 8 and 12.
I was about 16, my mother did let me move into my own apartment in Hollywood.
What?
But I traveled home. I came home about every 4 days. I would come home and I would eat until I couldn't eat anymore. Sleep, 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 eat, 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 and then I would leave again for about another week.
Well, your parents must have had a lot of trust that whatever you were doing out there, you were doing the right thing and you had a level head on your shoulder. So that's pretty cool.
They did. They did.
And I know you're a mom yourself. Do you give your kids that type of freedom, or are you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I support my kids. Whatever they want to do, I would support them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, their father took them during the divorce and left the country with them. So I haven't really had them in 3 years.
Oh.
Okay. It's an ugly situation.
Well,
we don't want to go there.
No,
I support them.
And my question wasn't to lead you there either.
No.
I just know you're a mom, and so that's why I asked that question.
No, I think parents should support their children on whatever it is they want to do because they know what's in their heart. And what sometimes parents will say, you know, I was a doctor, so I want you to grow up and be a doctor. But maybe that kid doesn't want to be a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, you need to support them because they are not you. They are a different person.
Yeah.
So you really need to back them on what they want to do, because if they have a goal, that's huge. That's half the battle.
Oh, yeah. Knowing what you want to do.
Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm. And that's all the fun.
That is all the fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of fun, let's hear a little bit of this. I don't know if anyone's ever heard this song, Cherry Bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a song people know?
I wouldn't change a thing. That's just perfect.
No, that's undeniable. Anyone who hears that and goes, I don't really like it, I don't want to talk to that person.
You're right.
Because that is just perfect,
perfect rock and roll.
That's how you do it. Yeah, right there.
So let's
classic.
That's classic. Let's talk a little bit about this this Runaways movie that was out.
I haven't seen it.
Really?
I
didn't see it?
I saw the trailers. And that was enough for me.
Well, I will tell you that the Kristen Stewart, who I don't find to be a very good actress,
it's her best work.
She was amazing as Joan Jett.
She really did look like
really
Joan.
Captured and the really, body language.
Yeah, she just seemed to inhabit that whole Joan Jett. So you haven't seen the movie? Well, this will be a short.
I can imagine. I mean, it's a fantastic movie, but I imagine if it's your life, you would say like,
right,
that
exactly.
is not what happened. You
well,
know,
it's not
like
really a Runaways movie.
Right.
No, it's really Joan's story.
It's Joan
Sherry's,
and Cherie.
What I wanted to really ask about, but you hadn't seen it, was I wanted to know about the guy who plays Kim Fowley in the movie. He was amazing too, and I wanted to know if that's how Kim Fowley really was. So maybe you can just tell us, what was that dude like? Because he seems like a hot mess.
The girls in The Runaways, I think everybody has their own opinion on The Runaways, and everybody has their own opinion on Kim Fowley.
Yeah.
And Kim and I got along very well together. He's very eccentric, and some people might call him you know, a freak or a weirdo mm-hmm. or whatever.
Sociopath gets tossed around.
I personally thought he was a genius.
Uh-huh. And, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I think, you know, him putting together an all-girl teenage band yeah. was, for me, it changed my life. And yeah. I don't know if I would be where I was today, if I am today without Kim mm-hmm. Fowley.
I think he probably changed everyone's life in the band. How was he with, cause how old of a guy was he at that time? You girls are teenagers.
God, I don't know. You know, he's just got one of those faces that he just looks old no matter yeah. what or when. Sometimes.
But did it feel weird having this older dude around? I mean, was he respectful to the girls?
Hell no.
No, okay. Here
no,
we go.
No, but it didn't bother me. You know, yeah. he was trying to tell the girls, yeah. You know, you need to act like Mick Jagger, you know, and he would stick his leg up and his ass out. He would go, and it just looked so stupid. And we would all watch him going, what is this guy doing? But I understood what he was trying to say is yeah. move like a rock star,
right.
act like a rock star, you know, choreograph yourself.
Right.
But he didn't use that terminology. He would just act stupid, and nobody would really understand what he was talking about. But I actually lived with him for 2 years in an apartment. We shared an apartment. I had my own bedroom, and I would come home, and he would be having sex on the dining room table. And, you know, it would be like,
hi, poster, man.
Hi, Kim. How are you today? Oh, I'm great. Talk to you later. Okay. Continue. See you later. You know, it was a weird, wacky relationship.
That is, to say the least. Now, you had said that you added maybe you don't want to say that you had added a couple of Runaway songs to the set list currently.
Yes, we did.
And what are you going to be playing?
We're going to play Cherry Bomb, and we are going to Australia yes. tomorrow. So Australia is going to be our first show that we do add the Runaway songs, Cherry Bomb, and it's very cocky. And now that we've got Marty O'Brien mm-hmm. on bass and Bobby Rock on drums.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I love that.
And Mitch Perry on guitar, the song sounds badass. And I'm singing it with a real go fuck yourself nice. Attitude. Nice. And then we're playing Black Leather, which is a real nasty song.
And that's you told Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols.
Yes. Black Leather. When we lived in England, the Runaways lived in England for a short period of time. We became very good friends with the Sex Pistols. And they would always come over, Sid and Nancy and Paul Cook and wow. Steve Jones. And they'd hang out. And Steve Jones wrote Black Leather pretty much for the Runaways.
Cool. Awesome.
So
I don't have that queued up.
Oh, it's so badass.
Son of a bitch.
Well, we're going to do Stage It. It's a live acoustic performance.
Okay.
And maybe we'll play Black Leather so you can take that version and use it.
Okay, great.
Oh, nice.
I want to hear one more Runaway song. Do you want to hear the one that you sing lead on?
Sure.
Let's hear I'm a Million.
Now, I was about 2 years old when I did this, so this is...
And drop it in about 2 minutes, 18 seconds, please, Matt. So now,
guitar riffs.
and that's you, because you were the lead guitarist in the yeah. Runaways. Now, a lot of the Runaways are still around.
They're what?
They're still around.
Yeah.
You?
Well, Sandy passed away.
Sandy sadly passed away.
On drums there, right?
But
yeah.
Joan and Cherie and Lita.
Yeah.
Has there ever been any talk?
I had dinner with Joan about a year ago, mm-hmm. and I saw her maybe. When the Monsters of Rock cruise mm-hmm. just... When was that, Mitch?
March.
In March, we docked in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
And the night we docked the Monsters of Rock ship, Joan was playing at the Hard Rock in Fort Lauderdale.
Wow. Oh, cool.
So I got off the ship and went to the Joan Jett show, and I saw her recently, and she was great. She took good care of me, and it was good to see her.
Oh, so, I like that. I like.
But do you guys think? Do you guys? Is there any desire to? If you got a phone call, what would you say? Would you want to do that?
Of course.
Let's do this, Joan.
Of course. You only live once, you know?
That's right.
And it's now or never. I think, I don't know that Joan wants to do it, but I know Cherie does.
Okay, yes.
So, I don't know.
And you guys even, Cherie's only on the first two Runaways albums, and then after she was gone, you guys did a couple more.
Yeah. Yeah, Joan became the lead singer after Cherie left. Mm-hmm.
So. And was it different then when Joan was the lead singer? Or did you still feel like, yeah, we're still the Runaways and we're still doing what we want to do?
Well, it became different because Joan and Cherie were very close. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I'm, don't quote me on this because I'm speaking for Joan.
Sure.
But I think Joan felt like she had lost part of her other half, so to speak, when Cherie did leave. So it was very hard for Joan to carry the band because she was a lead singer.
Yeah.
And she just, I don't know, I think she didn't feel as, it was a lot of stress on her. So.
Yeah, you're holding it all the weight on your shoulders now.
She did, yeah.
All right, cool.
And at that age, it was tough on her.
Yeah, because the everyone was a teen.
Yeah.
Right, late teens.
That's what I wanted to know. Like, one minute you're in high school or not going to high school. And
then, ditching.
And
ditching.
The next, you're fans are going crazy in Japan. And like, that must have been a weird moment. Like, was that,
yeah,
that
was
that
great. Crazy?
Like, how did you, and I guess, like, you know, you weren't used to anything else. So you think, oh, this is how it happens when you play rock. But were you able to, like, get a step back at the time and say, like, kind of, wow, this is cool. Like, or does it still seem amazing?
I lived a lifetime. By the time I was 18, I had lived an entire lifetime. And by the time the Runaways broke up, I felt like, okay, I'd just gone through college to learn how to be the real deal.
Right.
Now it's time to be the real deal.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, then, like, they break up and you guys, and you're like 20 or something. So then, like, yeah, you are, you know, like, well, that was fun, but no, that's when you just get started, it seems like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now here we go, because in case you think this is a Runaway show, it is not. It's a Lita Ford show. So now let's rush headlong into this. How long were you nervous about pursuing a solo career now? Were you ready for it?
No, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I wanted to do. I saw that light at the end of the tunnel, and I knew how to get there.
Yeah.
The thing is, when the Runaways broke up, I didn't have a singer. And in the Runaways, I wasn't the lead singer.
Right.
So I really could either do one or the other, you know, but playing guitar and singing at the same time was something I had to learn and teach myself.
Yeah.
So I rented a warehouse in Long Beach, California, which is where my parents lived. Mm-hmm. And I set up my Marshalls and I got a PA system. And I would go there every day by myself and just sing and play. And I taught myself how to sing and play at the same time. And I would go to concerts like Johnny Winter. I would study the old Jimi Hendrix stuff because he was in a three-piece band. And then there was a problem with getting recognition because I'm a female.
Right.
People would always look at the guy and and say, that's not her playing, that's him playing. So I figured the only way to solve that problem was to get rid of the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had a three-piece band. It was me, bass player, and a drummer, Neil Merriweather and Dusty Watson.
There you go.
And the three of us just jammed, and I got a record deal like that.
Excellent. And then, so I'm going to play a song from one of your first albums. This song.
Awesome.
This is from Dancing on the Edge from 84.
Awesome.
And this is Gotta Let Go. Lita solo.
Cool.
You gotta let go. Yeah, you gotta let go. You really want. So now,
said, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. So on this album, that's Randy Castile on drums,
yes,
who went on to play with Ozzy.
Yes.
And is also no longer with us.
Yes.
Rock in peace, Randy. And then, and Hugh McDonald, who has been with the bass player with Bon Jovi now, yes, for, since 94 or 95.
There's a documentary coming out on Randy.
Oh, great. Oh, wow. There should be.
Yeah, it should be coming out real soon. I don't know exactly when it's coming out, but I know that they're finished with it because I did the voiceover.
Oh, cool. For the whole entire thing?
Yeah.
Great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. And there's a lot of celebrities in it. I'm not going to give it away, but it'll be out soon.
Did you break down in the VO booth at all? Did you get sad?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Wow. I did. Yeah. I cried on somebody's shoulder. Okay. Yeah.
That's a Rock Solid exclusive. Yeah. Lita Ford cries.
I did. I loved Randy. He was a great guy.
Yeah, he's and a phenomenal drummer. I mean, anyone that knows, you know, the Ozzy stuff and this Lita Ford album, you know how great
he is. And before I found him, he played with Mitch.
Oh, he did, Mitch?
Yep.
Are you in the documentary, Mitch?
I am.
Yes, he is.
I can't wait to see this.
Did Mitch ever make you cry?
Not yet.
Okay. Gary, you had a question?
Yeah, Lita, you said something, I think, and this sounds corny, but it's important, I think, for the young people,
sure,
listening. You know, you think like, you know, rock and roll, it's a party lifestyle and everything. But when you were like setting off in your solo career, you talk about how you approached it like a business almost, or just like you were in college, you like studied the masters, you rented the warehouse space and worked your ass off. And that's like, hats off to you. I mean, that's fantastic. Like, whatever artistic field you want to be in, you got to work hard.
Yes.
Yeah, I hate to say the 10,000 hours thing, but you put in your time.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. There was no American Idol when the Runaways came along.
No.
It was blood, sweat, and tears, and Kim Fowley licking his finger and touching his tush. And
then, yeah, right.
And you did it.
I did it. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, when I grew up in the Runaways, there were no female role models for me,
right,
to look up to,
yeah,
on guitar anyway. I
right.
mean, there was Janis Joplin and, mm-hmm, you know, other vocalists, Pat Benatar, mm-hmm, and, you know, people like that. But on guitar, there really was no female idols for me to look up to.
That's true. You know, you don't think about that very often. But yeah, there's not. And even today, there's not a lot still, sadly.
Yeah. There still isn't. I mean, I had disappeared for 15 years to, mm-hmm, raise my boys.
Yeah.
And when I came back, there was still those empty pair of shoes sitting there where I left 15
yeah,
years ago,
yeah,
unfilled. Nobody fit into the magic slippers.
That's
you
right.
Know? So I came back and put them on and they fit perfect.
We needed you. We needed you, Lita.
So,
do you mind? You know what? Let's take a break from the chat and let's hear,
okay,
some tunes. Do you guys want to, do you guys have enough room to sit in here?
Yeah. Yeah, let me grab a guitar.
I'm going to be a roadie here. No, I'm not. I'm not going to be roadie at all.
Mitch.
Actually, I'm just going to sit here. Do you guys have enough room?
We're going to try.
Okay.
Let's see.
You can swing that over, yeah.
Swing it over this way.
Yeah, that angle it down a little.
Yeah. Okie doke.
I'm going to back out of
this
here.
On the floor.
Can you hear us?
Ready?
Yeah, bitch.
You got it.
The bitch is back. When the bitch gets back. Yay! Eat meat on a Friday, that's alright. Even like steak on a Saturday night. I can bitch the best at your social dues. I get high in the evening, sniffing pots of glue. And attain
my God.
That's how you do it.
Mitch, excellent. Lita, excellent.
Oh, thank you.
Man. These Australian shows are going to kick ass.
Yeah. It's going to be hot.
Oh, my God. That was like...
We've had some good music things
We've had some good
before,
music things in here, but man, like that is...
That's how you rock a podcast.
That's how you rock the podcast, is right.
Rock the pod.
I don't... should we talk more now and bring Mitch in later, or should we... Can you guys do another song right now? What do you guys think?
We can do another song.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Do you want to save one for the end?
We'll save one for the end. Good idea. Yeah.
We'll save one for the end.
Mitch, out in the hall. No, I'm kidding. Oh, that's excellent.
Thank you, Mitch.
Want us to hand that?
Oh, I'm good.
No, hold that.
She doesn't want me to touch her guitar.
I'll lean on it.
All right.
So are you stone cold sober, as a matter of fact? None of my business?
Kind
of. That's good.
Just having a coffee.
Yeah.
Got some coffee? It's none of my damn business.
No, I am. You know, you just give up on that stuff after a while.
Yeah. Outgrow it.
You know?
Yeah. Gary, you outgrew it, right?
Totally. Yeah. It's one day at a time. You know,
some of us do. Some of us don't.
Exactly.
Some of us can still handle it.
What a dick move.
I know, stupid. Okay, Lita, I want to jump to 1988.
Okay.
Self-titled one-word album, Lita.
Yes.
You work with Mike Chapman.
Yes.
Whose idea is it to bring... Now, Mike Chapman has produced The Knack and Blondie. He's a hit maker.
Yes.
He's a guy that you bring in when it's time to have the commercial hit.
Yeah,
so to
he's
speak.
Written everybody's favorite songs.
Exactly.
Simply the best. You know, writes with Holly. He wrote with Holly Knight. I don't know what he's doing now. I haven't seen him in a while.
But if you Wikipedia Mike Chapman, and you're going to be like, oh, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And is Sharon Osbourne your manager at the time?
She was.
Was it her idea for Mike Chapman? Was it your idea?
No, actually what happened is I put everything together.
Okay.
I wrote the album. We recorded the album, and the very last thing that I added to the team was Sharon Osbourne.
Okay.
So it was kind of cool because I did what I wanted to do, and I didn't have any direction from anybody. I just went in and recorded with Mike, and we had a blast.
That's great.
He's a great guy, and we really had a good time. And then Sharon, when I called Sharon, I said... I remember sitting, I was on the Queen Mary drinking Bloody Marys and doing oyster shooters with some guy I met from Anchorage, Alaska. And we were drunk, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to call Sharon and ask her to manage me. So I just picked up the phone and called her, and I said, Sharon, this is Lita. Would you please be my manager? And she says, yes, of course. And I went, awesome.
Daddy Lita's on the phone and she wants me to be manager.
It was awesome. So I was really happy with her.
And Close My Eyes Forever is on that album. Was it not a duet then when you, or was Ozzy involved after Sharon or was he involved before Sharon?
We hadn't written Close My Eyes yet.
Oh, okay.
That was something that came with Sharon.
Okay.
I was in the studio recording, finishing up the recordings, and Ozzy and Sharon came to the studio.
Okay.
And they had brought me a housewarming gift because I just got a new house.
What is that? What do they bring you? A sword? A vial of blood?
You're going to die. They brought me a life-size duplicate of Coco the gorilla from the San Diego Zoo.
The sign language gorilla?
Yeah. Oh, wow. The one with the kitty?
Yeah.
They had this kitty. And it,
of course.
It had the kitty attached. So Ozzy and I, we started drinking wine and shooting some pool. And Sharon got bored and she left. And she left Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
So Ozzy and I started writing. There was this little room off to the side of the studio and it had a guitar and some keyboards in there. And Ozzy and I made our way into this little room at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And we wrote Close My Eyes Forever. And the next morning, I noticed the sun was coming up and I said, shit, Ozzy. The sun's coming up. We got to get out of here. And he looks at me and he says, can you drive me home? And I said, no, I can't drive because we had to go over Laurel Canyon. Uh-huh. And, you know, that's a windy road.
Right.
After you've been drinking, it's not exactly smartest road to take.
No.
So I told him, you know, you better catch a taxi. So he called a cab, and I went home with Coco the gorilla strapped in the front seat of my car.
In the carpool lane.
Because I lived up in the hills the opposite direction. Yeah, in the carpool lane
with your Coco.
Well, since we talked about it, we'll play this. We'll play this first. This is "Close My Eyes Forever," duet with Ozzy Osbourne at 1:17, please.
Sometimes it's hard to hold. I'm so hard to hold on to my dreams. It is a lonely world it seems when you face to face with me. Like a dagger, you stick me in the heart. It takes the blood from my blade. And when we sleep, would you shelter me in your warm and dark and gray?
The video used to creep me out because Ozzy does this turn to the camera. And it's, like, yeah. Yeah. It's very creepy.
That was
Ozzy.
A tough one. I was in my formative years, yeah. And that video was on all the time. And yeah. You see Lita Ford, oh yeah, and then Ozzy comes on, no more Ozzy,
scary Ozzy. I'm gonna play two more. I'm gonna play two more tracks from the Lita album. I'm gonna play "Back to the Cave," and because when I hear "Back to the Cave," I'm thinking that Carlos Santana stole a little bit of guitar from Lita Ford. Let's hear this right from the top, "Back to the Cave."
Oh.
That sounds great, Lita.
It's a great riff.
Now jump us into 47 seconds. Hear a little vocal on that. Doesn't that sound like something on his Supernatural album?
Yeah. It really does.
But
very sexy.
Yes, yes. I wish I had it. Why don't I have a song that I can listen to that I've sung and groove to? Why don't I have that?
Should have thought of that before.
I know I should have. But Lita, "Kiss Me Deadly."
This right is now.
No. Well, turn off all mics. this is the huge breakout MTV. video. I remember I was dating a girl and her brother was like 10 and we walked in and he's literally like frozen in front of the TV, just like he's never even seen a woman before in his life. And we're like, what is this? He's like, I don't know.
I don't know. It was the G-string and the licking of the ice.
It's,
and all
it's just, who gets you to sex it up like that for the video? Is that the director? Or did you say, this is what I want to do right now in my life?
I wanted to attract attention.
Okay.
And I figured, you know what? I'm going to attract attention. And I put on a G-string and a leather jacket and grabbed a guitar and chicks and rock and roll. It's kind of...
And the great thing about that is you didn't do all that stuff to make a video for a song that stinks. You did all that stuff. And the song is amazing. It's undeniable. When you hear it anytime, it just makes you feel good. And let's hear a little bit of "Kiss Me Deadly."
I went to a party last Saturday night. I did a good day. I got in a fight. Uh-huh. It ain't no big thing. Late for my job and the traffic was bad. Had to borrow $10 from my old man. Uh-huh. I went to a party last Saturday night. I told you that story, it'd be alright. Uh-huh. It ain't no big thing, but I know what I like.
Indoors.
That's amazing.
So nice.
And you recorded that album right here in Sherman Oaks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Excellent.
Rock and roll hotbed. I had a couple of informational sidebars.
Okay, good. We like that.
Mike Chapman, Heart and Soul, Mickey, Ballroom Blitz, Stumbling In, Hot Child in the City. Just a few of the hits he had his hand in.
My Corona.
Yes, exactly. My Sharona.
My Sharona.
And Coco the Gorilla, her kitten's name was Ball.
Perfect.
Oh, so, you know. Wow. That's really cool.
Matt and I were discussing a lyric in Kiss Me Deadly when we came in today. When you borrow $10 from your old man, is that your boyfriend or is that your dad?
Well, live, it's whoever is there.
You borrow $10 from Mitch.
Well, I'll say I had to borrow $10 from Mitch's old man, or you know, Marty's old man, or bass player. Or,
but in the actual song, is it your dad? Are you talking about your dad, or are you talking about a boyfriend?
It would be my dad.
All right.
Yeah.
Dad's got the money. Boyfriends aren't going to give you any money.
Right.
Just give you grief. So then the song, I want to talk about the song Lisa.
Okay.
That song is about who?
That's my mother.
That's your mom.
My mother's name was Isabella. She was from Rome. And
beautiful name.
When she came to the United States, we moved to California. Mm. Nobody could really pronounce Isa. Everybody was having trouble calling her Isa for Isabella. So they named her Lisa.
What a bunch of dicks.
Her best friend was from Texas, and she had this southern drawl. And she used to say, Lisa Jean. I mean, her name was Isabella Benvenuto. It wasn't Lisa Jean.
Right.
But for some reason, it went from Isabella to Lisa. So I wrote her this song when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm. She had been given 3 months to live. And I wanted her to have this song and this video before she passed away. So when she went in to go get chemotherapy, she would take the video with her, and she would show it to the doctors and the nurses.
Sure she would.
Watch it. It would make her awesome. Feel good.
I bet it did. Let's hear, let's go to 40 Seconds. This is a beautiful song from the Stiletto album. Lisa.
As I let my fingers trace each time one line upon your face, I'm not all in love, create a masterpiece like you.
Now, I have songs that I listen to that make me cry. I can't imagine having to perform one of those songs. How does that, when you perform this live, how do you get through a song like that?
You have to mentally go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Think about hot dogs or baseball. Yeah. You know, and at the same time, don't lose the emotion of the song. The hard part for me was writing this song.
Yeah, I bet.
It was tough. It's your mother,
yeah.
You know, and she's dying. And how do you put that into words?
Yeah.
So I called on help from my songwriting lyricist partner, Michael Dan Emig. And he's still with me today. And he helped me with Living Like a Runaway. Yeah. That CD was co-written by Michael Dan Emig. He's just a brilliant, brilliant lyricist. He's very religious, and he's just a kind soul. And he comes up with the most incredible lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, only you know who I am. Only you really understand. It's your mom.
Yeah.
They know. They feel what you feel.
It's an experience a lot of people go through.
Yeah.
And luckily you were able to channel your emotion into a song, and everybody can hear it and feel better.
And
it goes through it.
But now, just because of the story you just told, now when I hear that song, I'm going to think of your mom taking her little video player and showing the nurses and how filled with pride she was at that time. And that's what I'm going to think of now.
Awesome.
So,
that's nice.
She was a beautiful lady. She really was. She was a full-blooded Roman, but she was a lady. I mean, I never heard her say the F word. You know, she never swore.
Right.
She was just always a lady.
So how? What did she think then of the sexed up Lita Ford videos when she would see those?
Oh, she gave me hell, especially with the torn up jeans. You know, the torn up jeans.
Sure.
I actually stopped a guy on the street. He was climbing the telephone poles. You know, he worked on the telephone wires. Yeah. And his pants were naturally shredded down the front. This wasn't something I bought at a department store, which they do now.
Yeah.
Back then, they didn't sell torn-up jeans. And I came home with two pairs of torn-up jeans. And I had them, I took them to my clothes designer. Mm-hmm. And she padded them from the inside with different beads and studs and leather and velvet. And I used to wear them around. And my mother one day came out into the front yard and she says, Lita, get in the house! And I looked at her and I said, why? What's wrong, Mom? And she said, I don't want the neighbors to see you in those jeans. And I thought, what's wrong with them? And she said, they're disgusting. Little did she know they wound up all over MTV.
Oh. She literally charmed the pants off a utility worker.
That's crazy.
I paid for them.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome. I want to hear, you chose to cover Only Women Bleed. By yes. Alice Cooper. What made you, that seems like a, it doesn't seem like a song that a woman usually sings, that I would think of a woman singing. So what was going through your mind when you thought, I'm going to try this?
Yeah. It was on the radio. It was really late at night, mm-hmm. like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was just sitting in with some friends and we were hanging out and it came on the radio. And it struck me so hard, that song. And I thought, wow, what if a woman was to sing Only Women Bleed? I mean, Alice Cooper's version is amazing.
Yeah.
And Dick Wagner, as a guitar player, was amazing. And I thought, what if, you know, let's give it a shot. So I presented Only Women Bleed to Mike Chapman. Mm-hmm. And we took it on as a challenge. Because it's such a beautiful song, and there's so many intricate guitar parts in that song. And how do you beat a song? I mean, when you do a cover of something, you better own it or don't do it at all. And when Mike Chapman produced it, he made me do all the guitar parts. We didn't bring in anybody else to play guitar on that song. So I ended up playing pedal steel and all kinds of other little bits and pieces that went along with that. And I called Dick Wagner, and over the phone, he was telling me, well, you play that part like this, and you play this part like that. And so he really walked me through the guitar parts over the phone.
That's really cool.
It was really cool, and it came out amazing. And the background vocals on the, those beautiful high vocal parts, these two guys came in to sing backing vocals, and they looked like plumbers. They were these big, huge guys with their pants hanging down in the back, you know, the crack and everything was showing. And I looked at these guys and I thought, you're kidding me, right? They sang like angels.
Wow.
And they nailed it on Only Women Bleed, and it just came to life.
And that's what I want people to remember. Lita Ford plays fucking lead guitar, people.
Yes.
Take that away today, please. Mm-hmm. Let's hear a little of Only Women Bleed at cue it up. I have it queued up.
Man makes your hair gray. He's your life's mistake. All you really looking for is some feet break. He lies right at you. You know you hate this game. She cries alone at night.
That's great, because now every time we hear that, we're going to picture the Mario Brothers.
That's right. The Super Mario Brothers singing.
Yeah, I do. Every time I hear it, I could just still see them standing there.
You nailed it, though.
Yeah. Awesome. So that was from Stiletto, and you did two albums back-to-back with Mike Chapman.
Yes.
And then we move on to working with Tom Waterman. This guy's worked with Motley Crue and Cheap Trick. And how was Tom Waterman to work with?
He was a lot of fun. Very different than Mike Chapman. Mm. We used to run every morning, and
from the cops.
Paint
the story in my head.
We would go jogging in the morning, and my trainer would take me around the college. There's a college up in the hills where I used to live, and we would run the track. Mm-hmm. And so we would get in the studio after, you know, the morning's workout, right. And I would say, I ran 5 miles today. Tom, what did you do? You know, Tom would say, well, I only did 2 miles today. Aha! So it was always a competition with me and Tom.
See, once that MTV came up, you had to keep yourself in shape.
Oh, yeah. This was right before the Shot of Poison video, which was nominated for a Grammy, by the way.
Huh? Well, let's hear Shot of Poison then from Dangerous Curves. Got it. Destruction. Got a fear for danger now. So Dangerous Curves comes out in 91, album called Black comes out in 1995.
Yeah.
And then after that, Lita Ford disappears.
Everything went quiet.
Everything goes quiet. Where's Lita Ford?
Yeah.
And where is Lita Ford?
Well, basically what happened is the music scene changed.
Well, yeah.
You know, the grunge kicked in, and there really wasn't any place for that kind of music at that period of time. And I got married and became pregnant, and I thought, you know what? Now's the time to bow out. I had already been doing this since 1975.
Right.
It's been 20 years. Yeah. I was on the road for 20 years, and I thought, if I'm going to take a break, now's the time.
Now's the time, yeah.
Let Nirvana take over and get this bitch out of here. And you know, so I went. I had two boys and spent the next 15 years being a mom.
And did you live on an island?
Yes.
How do you find an island to live? How does that happen?
You marry somebody who hates the United States and the government and didn't want to be a part of it. And he talked me into bailing, and we ended up in the Caribbean on a deserted island.
On a deserted island.
So you guys were off the grid.
You have to fly into, excuse me, you have to fly into Providenciales, Turks and Caicos Islands. Mm-hmm. And from Providenciales, you get in a boat and you go about 30 minutes to North Caicos.
Wow.
And then from there, you can walk to the house, excuse me. You can walk to the house. The house is right off the shoreline. And on that island, there's 1,500 people. There's 1,500 people in Miami. We moved to Miami. There's 1,500 people per square mile in Miami. On the island, it's 36 square miles. There's only 1,500 people.
So on this island, is there a 7-Eleven? Where do you get your food?
They
filmed
Survivor there.
I know. How do you live on an island? And the house is there. You build the house, or?
Yeah, the houses. We built the houses.
Okay.
Because when we moved there, it was just we rented houses on the mainland.
Yeah.
And we built the houses on North Caicos. We brought in our own concrete trucks, our own, you know, tools and everything to build. And we built these massive, how we built two of them, now there's quite a few hundred acres over there that's there. But anyway, there's no Starbucks. There's no Target. There's no FedEx. There's nothing.
Wow.
I homeschooled my boys. I had to.
Yeah.
I had no choice. I learned a lot. You know, it's educational. If you have to,
you
go
finally
back,
got that diploma that you didn't. You
no,
didn't
she
really
got a
earn
diploma back in the day. She was on the tour with the Ramones.
Yeah, right. I got the rock and roll diploma. Yeah. That's what I got.
Well, that's
what
that
an
is
amazing
crazy
experience. Yeah. That's like, would you recommend it?
It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think it's easier for men more so than women because. Yeah. You know, women like stuff. They like to go shopping.
You're no prima donna.
Oh, I'm a girl. I would hate it. I'm a girl. Forget it.
Yeah. They like their cell phones.
Yeah.
They like their cars, all that kind of stuff. You know, we drove around in four-wheelers, and I played with fishing bait all day long, which I love. Yeah. I love to fish, but, you know, after 10 years, it gets kind of old.
Yeah, I got a chihuahua in a handbag, so I can't. I couldn't live. So then you come out of retirement, and you release Wicked Wonderland. Which, if we can say, it's not, it wasn't your normal sound.
No.
So fans didn't really gravitate to that record, if that's okay to say.
Yes.
And so
I actually threw them all away.
Wow. So when for that reason,
I got a truck and took all the Wicked Wonderlands I could find, and I went from dumpster to dumpster, and it took me about a year, but I was able to throw them all away. I hated that album.
Good, because we're not going to play any of that fucking album. We're going to jump right to the album Living Like a Runaway that came out last year, 2012, produced by Gary Huey.
Yes.
And
about a guitar whiz.
Yeah. And I saw you on That Metal Show, and you were on, and you were like, I'm working with Gary. We're going to do an album. It's going to be old school Lita Ford. And I did that, and it came out, and let's hear Living Like a Runaway.
I remember when I was 17, riding in the back of a black limousine. I used to stare at the stars and ask for God to please guide me in the right direction. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where I was going to stay. All I knew was that I was going far, far away. And it still feels like yesterday.
That's what we were waiting for.
Right on.
That's what we wanted to hear. So,
right on.
Let's play one more song from that. Let's hear. I saw your Facebook page. You posted a picture of a girl who had these lyrics tattooed on her back.
Nice. Yes.
And that's always amazing when someone does that.
Incredible.
But so much better than having Gene Simmons tattooed in your arm. The lyrics to this. But this is a song called Mother. You're the mother.
Yes.
In this song, it's not Lisa, it's you. And let's hear a little bit of Mother from Living Like a Runaway.
I'm your mother. Your flesh and blood, your family. And like no other, until they bury me 6 foot deep. No matter what the future holds, and even though you just begun to grow, just know you'll always have your mother. The damage is done. I never wanted things to work out this way. My little ones, how do I say how sorry I am? Someday you see.
That's a great song.
Have you seen the video?
No.
It just went up, didn't it? I didn't watch it yet. But I'll put a link to it.
It was, we actually did the video last year, at the end of last year, and we saved it for Mother's Day.
Oh, nice. Oh, wow.
Perfect. You're sitting on it and you're like, ooh, let's get it out there.
Just driving us nuts. We couldn't wait to release it. But USA Today debuted it on May 8th for Mother's Day.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can I ask one more question?
Absolutely, Gary. You have a question for me?
Yes, I do, Pat. where'd you get that shirt? I was wondering about, living in Hollywood, like, you could admire somebody on, like, TV or the movies or whatever, and then you hear from a friend of a friend, like, oh, they're a jerk, and it kind of colors your perception of them, and you're like, oh, man, I wish I didn't know that about that person. But on that score, I wanted to ask about, have you patched things up with Tony Iommi? Are you guys pals? Or are you still...
I haven't seen Tony.
Oh, okay. But are you on good terms, would you say? Okay. Because we're team leader here, so we're not going to pay attention to
you. You and Tony Iommi, the guitarist from Black Sabbath, had a relationship.
We were engaged to be married. And it didn't work. But I like to remember Tony for who he is as a guitar player and the great Black Sabbath.
Sure. All right. Well, good. Thank you. Thank you for letting us off the hook. Because I want to hear that new album.
Oh, let's get Mitch back over here.
Mitch, would you like over. Are you feeling it?
He's always feeling it. Nice. The guitar, that is.
Yeah.
Whoops.
I want to tell people I have two copies of Living Like a Runaway that we're going to give away to listeners. I'm going to coerce Lita with a back rub into into autographing these for us.
Or maybe say I won't give you a back rub if you sign this. That might work.
There you go. Works at home. It works here.
That sucks.
I'm joking. But Living Like a Runaway is out. Lita's going to be on tour in Australia. You got any dates in the summer here at the States?
We do. We're playing with Rat, Sebastian Bach. We've got a bunch of shows booked. We're doing Sturgis.
Okay, great.
Nice.
So we've got a bunch of shows in the U.S.
Sounds like trouble with these Rat and this Sebastian Bach. It sounds like it's going to be some trouble.
I hope so. I hope so. But if you go to LitaFordOnline.com, official, and you can
we'll
see
find out everything
is.
We need to know about Lita Ford. I would love you guys to play us out with whatever you would want to play for us. Lita, thank you so much. It was a joy. Mitch, not so much. But I'm kidding, Mitch. I love you.
How about we do Living Like a Runaway?
All right.
Okay.
Yep. My hands start shaking like the streets of Hollywood. My mind was wasted. I still did the best I could. One day I left town with just the shirt on my back and a guitar on my shoulder. Yeah, I wasn't coming back. I had to break the spell my heart was under. So I rolled out of town. And I will never forget what my mama said. She said, run, baby, run across New York City. Run, baby, run from the streets of L.A. Run, baby, run, yeah, you can't slow down. And you can never stay. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where I was going to stay. All I knew is that I was going far, far away. And it still feels
like yesterday when he said, run, baby, run, across New York City. Run, baby, run, through the streets of L.A. Run, baby, run, yeah, you can't slow down. And you can never stay.
My God, Lita, thank you so much for being open and honest and talking. And
it is no excuse to call you a living legend. You sound better than ever. We're so happy you made some time for us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Mitch, also for joining us. That's our show. Go see Lita on tour. Go to her website and pick up Living Like a Runaway. That's it. Bye.
Bye.